I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. The name Bernie Madoff has become synonymous with investor fraud. He's currently in the spotlight for an alleged Ponzi scheme that bilked investors out of billions. But this is hardly the first time questions about white-collar crime have made headlines. You remember Enron, right? That was the energy company that cooked the books back in the late 90s. Before Enron, you had Michael Milken of junk bond fame in the 80s. Alan Sloan is now going to help us take a closer look at white-collar crime. He's senior editor at large with Fortune magazine. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
So take us back to 2001 when the Enron scandal broke. What had the company hidden and how did it come to light?
The company had hidden the fact that it was making up most of its earnings, and rather than having solid profits as it reported, it was actually losing money. And the way this came to light was that some people at the Wall Street Journal had trouble understanding what the company was doing, started raising questions about it, and then the Securities and Exchange Commission, which I suspect reads the Wall Street Journal very closely, began looking into it, and then the whole thing just sort of blew up and exploded.
There are a few names that we remember from this case. Give me an example of a couple of the folks who, a lot of folks said that the hubris was amazing, not, you know, when people were finally identified. So who were some of the key players in this?
Right. Some of the key players were a fellow named Jeffrey Skilling, who used to be the number two guy at the place, was convicted, sent away for, I don't know, 20 or 30 years, and is now appealing his sentence. The other big name was a fellow named Ken Lay, who was convicted but died before his appeal was finished. So I guess he died a criminal, or at least a convicted one. So those are the two big names that everybody remembers.
What do you think we should make of the punishments? I mean, now I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Madoff case in a second, but now people are looking at what is an appropriate punishment for someone who commits white-collar crime. Is this something that financial reporters like you take a close look at?
Yeah, and a lot of it is random. The thing that bothers me, sort of, is that once you're in the criminal justice system, it becomes a lottery. And if you have a good lawyer and your luck runs, you make it off with probation. If you're somebody like this guy Bernie Ebers at WorldCom, who's and that was another massive fraud, he got, I believe, 25 years. So you never know how it's going to turn out. And even if it turns out you're innocent, unless you happen to be a zillionaire and can afford enormous legal fees, to be indicted is to have your life over. I mean, that's my problem with it. I think the real guilty people should go away forever and a day and be branded with the mark of Cain and be an example to others. It's just the system is so random it bothers me. But then again, I'm not a lawyer.
It also seems that some cases get a lot of scrutiny while others don't get very much. And one of the ones that is getting a lot of scrutiny right now, of course, is the Madoff case, the alleged Ponzi scheme that may have bilked people out of billions of dollars. Of course, you know, a lot of the figures are funny, so we don't know quite how many billions. But when you look at this case and how it's playing out in the media, do you think that people really understand the implications of it from a financial standpoint and what it might mean for how much other fraud has gone on over the past few years?
Well, this is one of the things where nobody's really clear what's going on, and many of the numbers being thrown around, as you sort of implied a minute ago, come from Madoff and therefore can't be believed because nothing he says can be believed. But unlike, say, Enron, which was a real company with real employees and real people, it just had problems telling the truth. It looks like Madoff may have invented everything and never have actually made any of the investments he said he was making. So unlike, say, when Enron went down and dragged down a whole lot of other people, Madoff may well disappear without serious financial consequences, except for the poor victims. And as for the question of who gets scrutinized, it's fascinating. There's now an enormous case going on in Minneapolis, I'll bet you've never heard of a fellow named Tom Petters.
I have not heard of it.
See? He's been convicted of a variety of things that seem to have scammed billions of dollars from hedge funds and many people in the Twin Cities who trusted him, and much of the Madoff thing is kinship because a lot, you know, Madoff is Jewish and a lot of Jews were in there. But this fellow was some sort of evangelical Christian, or is, I guess, and he got a lot of evangelical Christians. This happened. I've been around 40 years, and I've seen it over and over again that people frequently scam their own communities because that's where they're trusted, and people don't do their homework on people they trust.
Now, in both the Enron case and the Madoff situation, they're very different in some ways, but they both benefited, at least for a time, from the fact that a lot of people don't understand finance, and it's very difficult to understand. What do you think people need to do who are not financiers to understand? Why is it important to even understand the issue of finance, white-collar crime, and all of these?
Well, white-collar crime matters because it affects all of us. Even if you happen to be a blue-collar person, you undoubtedly get affected one way or another. Your investments, your company, your suppliers, your neighbors, everyone gets affected by serious white-collar crime. And the old joke is, right, you walk into a bank with a gun, steal $50,000, they send you away for 10 years. You steal $50 million in some sort of white-collar crime thing, and you get, you know, 5 minutes and a warning from the judge. I mean, that's an exaggeration, but that's the kind of thing that for years has annoyed people, including me. And somehow because there's been now so much of this stuff has surfaced, and there's such conscientiousness about it, and in the case of Madoff, largely because he scammed people, that members of the media know. So you get really angry when your friends go down. I mean, I don't have any friends who were in there, but a lot of people in my business have friends, and so you get really upset when you see your friends ripped off, and that's a big factor in the Madoff coverage.
All right. Well, Alan, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
That was Alan Sloan, Senior Editor-at-Large with Fortune Magazine.